What's up, everyone? It's Michelle Thompson here with Jake Brandon for another episode of Around the ACL. Riding solo today, Jake.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready. I'm ready. Prepared.
Yeah, we have had, our other co-commentators, broadcasters are either busy or under the weather. So we are going to walk you through this incredible first kickoff battle. We're going to talk a little bit about the schedule for the next kickoff battle, number two, happening in just a couple weeks, which is crazy. And then we'll get into some buy or sell. So lots of good stuff to get into. But of course, the main topic is going to be, we finally got our first kickoff battle going. And like, I don't know. You guys over on the live stream court had a lot of new stuff, changes. Us on the broadcast court had a lot of new stuff and changes. So overall, how do you think it all went in terms of this very first kickoff battle this season?
Man, it feels kind of surreal that it's already done. Because, you know, the season started way back in October. And everybody that I'm talking to is like, man, the first national, the first pro event is so far away. I feel like we're never going to get there. And then we finally get there to the kickoff battle this past weekend. And it felt like it kind of just breezed by. Like, I'm already home. I'm already, you know, we're talking about the recaps. I was like, man, it feels like it just happened. What the heck went on? Well, no, but it was – It was very busy, but it was a really fun weekend. Like you said, there were a lot of different changes to the live stream setup. It all went really well. It wouldn't have happened without the help of our awesome producers, Corey Russell and Chase Hunter. So we got to give a big shout out to them. Absolutely. Yeah, man, it was a fun weekend. I'm glad to be home. I definitely caught up on some sleep this morning, so I feel good. I feel refreshed. But man, let's get into it. Let's talk about what we saw. It was a really fun weekend. Lots of cornhole to talk about.
It's hard for me because I don't get to see a lot of it when it gets down to the end of the bracket. So I'm in the hotel or sometimes commentating for the beginning parts of the brackets, but then we are being called over to the broadcast court 3 hours before we go on TV. And that is literally the end of every bracket. So I'm always like, who won? What happened? So I'm going to rely on you a little bit for when we get towards the winners and the finalists and things like that, because it's stuff I never got to see. Yeah, but I did get to see a good bit of the team's action, which I thought was really fun. I will admit, last season when we watched the team's broadcast, so this is the first time we're seeing people who are not used to going on TV go on TV. We're seeing people deeper in a draft pick. You know, this is not your typical doubles and singles where you work through all the pros and get to the final four or final two. These are people who could be 100, 200 on the list of pros. And I felt like when they got on TV, it sometimes didn't go well. Like, it didn't look like professional cornhole, especially put up against a double or singles match, which was just phenomenal high-level cornhole. But this season, I feel like it's so much better. I feel like everyone is stepping up and watching the team's events. Everyone's looking professional out there. It's looking like we can get bags in the hole. It's good. It's good games. I mean, down to game sevens, if that mattered. So I was really impressed with the teams overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show how good and how deep the pro division is this year. Because we will have those people who are, you know, late draft picks and or picked up off the free agency wire who are still coming out to these broadcasts and performing really well. So I think it's all a credit to, you know, how good everybody has gotten over the past couple of months, over a year, and you know how deep this pro division runs. Because you'll have your top players, like you said, in those pro singles and those pro doubles finals matching up against these pro teams players who are, you know, on TV and on these broadcasts for the first, maybe second time of their careers, but they're still showing up, they're still showing out, and they're performing really well. So I think it just goes to show how good this pro division is going to be this year. And I'm really excited to watch the team's format.
Yeah, and we'll see that when we get to the shootout format, which we'll talk about next or after the national format. But obviously the doubles teams that made it to the end weren't the ones we were all going to say, right? So it just shows that depth even more. But let's talk about our national format first, and we'll start with singles, which was our first day. So they played rounders, and that was done for the seeding. And we went into our singles bracket. And our singles finalists to play at kickoff battle number two are Jeremiah Ellis, Adam Hisner, Braden Wilson, Gavin Cano. So congratulations to all of them. And so let's talk about singles, Jake. What stuck out to you?
Yeah. You know, the four singles players, I think they all had one thing in common for me, and that was that neither one of them looked like they were ever going to lose a match. You know, they all came out of their individual brackets. They all looked very, very dominant. All four players were sitting in the king seat, so there wasn't any double dip scenario in pro singles. So all four of them looked like they were, you know, they were destined to be there. Obviously, Jeremiah Ellis defeated Logan Chamberlain, you know, and they played each other in the winner's final. They were on the broadcast court behind me, so I didn't get to watch them, but I found myself standing up and looking over because there was a lot of chirpiness going on. There was a lot of talking, and it was a really good match. Jeremiah ended up getting it done. And then when it came back, Logan Chamberlain got back to the championship against Jeremiah. I brought him onto my court, and the game ended in about 12 rounds. Jeremiah beat him 21-8, I believe. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't get any of this exciting drama or anything like that. But, I mean, it just goes to show, Trey mentioned it on his Twitter account a few days ago, that Jeremiah is one of the best players in the country right now, and I have to agree with him. Coming off that open singles title in Brighton, Michigan, he looked really good again this weekend, and he's going to be scary all season long.
I was talking to him right before that match, or it was the one before. Who did Logan have to beat to get to Jeremiah? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I could probably look it up.
So whatever that game was, that's okay. I was standing with Jeremiah. He was watching it, and he's like, I get the winner of this game. And I said, I thought Logan wasn't a singles player. Remember when Logan said he wasn't a singles player?
Right.
And Jeremiah goes, oh no, he's a singles player. So he definitely, you know, was looking forward to that competition. And then I asked, like, you think you're going to get it? And, you know, he's a confident guy. He's like, I got it. So that's what was happening right before that match. All right. Adam Hisner. What's up with Adam Hisner?
No idea. You know, obviously Adam has been in the news recently, winning with a couple of open titles in a row with Trey Birchfield, but you know, and he's been kind of under the radar on the singles. The past few opens, he's been making really deep runs in these singles brackets, hasn't been able to get over that hump. And you know, we had another really tough test here at the kickoff battle, had to play Ryan Trader in the overall finals, came in the king seat, lost game one of the double dip, actually in pretty convincing fashion. Ryan Trader took it to him, but you know, that switch flipped in game two. Adam took it to Ryan Trader and ended up taking it down. That was probably one of the most fun finals that I had the ability to watch, man, because everybody coming in thought, man, Ryan Trader's going to double dip him. We're going to get another rookie on this pro singles broadcast. But Adam Hisner proves that these veterans are still here to play, that these old dudes are putting the work to these young kids. So shout out to Adam Hisner for winning the draft.
Jake called you old, Adam. Good, get after him. Brayden Wilson, I was happy to see him. I think I've mentioned, I can't remember if it was on here or just off air, but he struggled a little bit in the rookie showcase, which made me a bit nervous. And so I was really happy to see him get to the end and show what we all thought right before he became a pro. Because my perception of Brayden was rookie of the year candidate. And I will admit, after the rookie showcase, my confidence wavered a little bit on that. So here he was to prove that, no, I should be right there on that ballot at the end of the year.
Yeah, you kind of nailed it. I feel like coming into the rookie season, there were kind of three pros who had everybody's attention. And that was obviously Jeremiah Ellis, Ryan Trader, and Sammy Soto. Those were my three, at least. Brayden Wilson kind of flying in under that radar. Obviously, he was the number one ranked amateur player last season. So coming in to the pro division, he made it on point. So nobody was really talking about him because of that poor performance at the rookie showcase and hadn't really shown out at many opens this season. But, you know, I'm happy to say that he has proven me 100% wrong. I am so happy for the kid. He's one of the most polite kids you'll ever see. Taking down Cody Henderson in the overall finals. And
by the way, Cody Henderson? What?
Right? That's what I'm saying. But, you know, being able to watch a few of the Cody Henderson matches, I mean, it is like vintage 2018, 2019 Cody Henderson. He'll take, you know, 30, 40 seconds between each bag. He will talk to you. He'll talk to himself. And that's what ended up happening. Cody took down Brayden in game one because he was chirping back and forth, because he was talking, he was taking his time. And then in between game one and two, Cody Henderson took a little bathroom break. He came back and Brayden Wilson scored 17 points in four rounds. Whoa. It was like it had never even happened.
Okay, so this this kind of makes sense because my perception of Cody is he doesn't ever play cornhole. He just shows up to these events. Like I would say 99.9% of all the people who are in that building, including us, eat, sleep, and breathe cornhole. Like my life revolves around cornhole. I don't feel that way about Cody Henderson. I don't think his life revolves around cornhole. I could be wrong. And so it's so crazy to see him make it deep in brackets, but maybe a little bit of practice helps him get over that hump, or maybe he doesn't need it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. Obviously, it's hard to tell for a lot of these things, like what's going to stay connected, you know, what's going to fall off between the first and second pro event. So it's really hard to tell with any of these things until we get to Cornhole Mania in Colorado.
But he gets his seeding now. Like, so this sets you up for success, you know? Really so does. Like, if you're really going to do well on an event, have it be the first one. And then Gavin Cano, this is a name we mention all the time. So no surprises to see him there at the end. Really happy for him. High level cornhole player. Did you get to see that match?
I did not. He was on the other live stream court, but you know what you're getting out of Gavin Cano. You're going to get a mentally very strong player. He's not going to talk to you. He's not going to get down on himself ever. He's going to just put it to you. Took down Jacob Trzynski in his bracket final. He looked good. You know, nothing really to write home about. He wasn't, you know, exceptional. He wasn't flashy, but he did everything he needed to do to get things done. I'm loving this final four of singles. You got a really good mixture of rookies and vets, old and young, new and tenured players. I'm excited to see Gavin, excited to see Braden Wilson. I'm excited to see all four of these players perform on national TV in just a little over a week now.
Yeah, so technically they've all played on TV now at this point because Jeremiah did at Teams. Gavin has. Braden did with the junior.
USA.
That's what it was. And obviously Adam's done it. So all have had TV time. Let's move into doubles. Our finalists, Mark Richards, Tony Smith, Alec Ryan, Ethan Walker, Fisher Hamilton, Gavin Cano, and Ryan Wiedenfeld and Ryan Smith. I wouldn't say any surprises there for me. I mean, Alec Ryan, Ethan Walker would be the only one that maybe people didn't have in the final four, but we all also knew they could get it done.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of mentioned it when you said it. No surprises. I mean, I looked through all four of these brackets, and you know, when you look through the winners, you say, I mean, I'm not surprised. I could have seen all four of these teams winning all four of these brackets. So obviously you start with Mark Richards and Tony Smith, the new super team, the new juggernaut coming into this year. A lot of questions were raised during the open season before the first pro event and, you know, whether they could compete. You know, Tony hadn't really made a deep run in singles. I think they had one doubles open together, but, you know, that was it. So the questions were starting to arise on whether they could actually perform together when the pro season started. Those questions are all out the window. They looked exceptional in pro doubles. Defeating Josh Holland and Duncan Clemmer in their bracket final. So you got to give them a couple shout outs too.
But yeah, great run for them.
But yeah, Tony Smith, Mark Richards look really good. I'm excited to see them perform.
I didn't get to see these games, obviously, but Alec Ryan, Ethan Walker, that had to be fun to watch.
Not really.
No?
just because, yeah, no, Mark Richards, Tony Smith won it, I believe, 21-1 or 21-2, so it wasn't really close.
The Alec Ryan, Ethan Walker one.
Oh, I didn't get to see that one.
You know, because they got all the shots. So.
Yeah, right, they have all the shots. I did get to see, you know, the round that won it, Alec Ryan won it, scored two against Steven Bernadette to take it down, and they were fired up. I have never seen Alec Ryan get that energized, that electric since I've started seeing him play cornhole. So I was happy for him, excited for him. I'm really excited to see these two perform.
Yeah, because he's a bit of a roller coaster. Not him as a person, but his seasons. His, you know, he'll be up at the top and then he'll fall, and then he'll up at the top and fall. So what a great time to get up at the top. But going back to Richard Smith, so that was a blowout their game.
Yeah, not close at all. It was kind of weird because, you know, like I mentioned before, when Ryan and Walker won their bracket, they were yelling and screaming and excited. When Tony and Mark won their bracket, I don't think they said more than three words to each other. You know, they walked down, they shook Duncan and Josh's hands, and then they shook their own hands, and they walked over to our booth to get interviewed. But that just goes to show, I mean, like, they are here for business. They are not messing around. They are not here to have fun. They are here to work. And if they stay with that mentality, they're going to be scary all season. And I would not want to be in their bracket.
It's about expectations, right?
Yeah.
So everybody expects Mark and Tony to win, including themselves. And while I'd love to say that everybody expected Alec, Ryan, and Ethan Walker to win, including themselves, I think that they know they're good and they're confident, but I don't know if they expect to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they do to a certain level, but not the way that Richards and Smith does. So I wonder if there's like this, yeah, of course, yeah, we did it. Like, of course we did it. that's what we do. I could be wrong.
For sure.
Hamilton Cano, you know, familiar doubles team here in our pro nationals format. We've seen them a few times, so we'll see if they can get it done.
Yeah, Fisher and Gavin were a lot of people's teams that they picked, you know, to win the entire thing, win like world championships, along with, I believe, I mean, if I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know, Mark and Tony are one, but a lot of people have Gavin and Fisher at that two spot, if not in that one spot. So another thing was not super surprising, and, you know, they kind of did the same thing as Richards and Smith. They beat Derek Holland and Alex Rawls in their bracket, and, you know, they weren't really screaming. They were celebrating a little bit, a couple of fist bumps, a couple of big high fives, but you know, like you mentioned about expectations, they are expecting to win their brackets. They did here at the kickoff battle, and their work is only beginning as they have punched their ticket to the broadcast in a week and a half.
Which reminds me, you know, we don't see Eddie Grindersleeve, Caleb Batson. And I did go back because I was trying to find where Caleb found. I may have been looking in singles. I can't remember. But I was ready to do when I was doing buy or sell, like, you know, we're worried about KB. I was going to go that direction. But then I looked at his stats. And he threw phenomenal. So
yeah.
I don't know what happened because I didn't look at like exactly who beat him and how he got to the place that he got to. But Eddie and KB did play well.
Yeah, I believe they finished third or fourth in their bracket. I mean, there's almost nothing you can do. You play as exceptional as you did, like you are KB and Eddie, but you just have, you know, that one or two teams who just shoot just a little bit better than you and they end up taking you down. There's not really much you can do. You can be frustrated for a little bit, but, you know, when you're averaging mid to high tens and your opponents are averaging high tens to 11s, that's about it. You kind of just have to nod your head and say, all right, you got me.
Not my time. Not my turn.
Nope.
And then the Ryans, Ryan Wiedenfeld, Ryan Smith, a little bit of a surprise there. Ryan Wiedenfeld, another one of those players that's been a bit of a roller coaster. Cool to see them get to the end there. We saw Ryan Smith connect in a lot of the shootout formats, but I don't know if we saw him in the national format. I can't recall for last season.
Yeah, it was another team where I could either expect them to win the whole dang thing, or I could expect them to, you know, kind of finish middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. I paid a lot of attention to their bracket because, you know, that bracket had Soto and Gore. It had Soto and Thorne, obviously Ryan and Ryan, that bracket. And it had, I believe, Jeremiah Ellis and Reinhardt.
Wow.
Absolutely stacked bracket. So I was paying a lot of attention to it and they lost early, I think in the second or third round. And it was one of those things where like, yeah, well, you know, Ryan and Ryan, you know, there was a tough team to beat, but
yeah,
you know, they went on an absolute run through the loser's bracket. And it was another one of those things where I was like, yeah, I mean, I would expect it to make that deep run through the loser's bracket. Ended up making it back to the finals versus Sammy Soto and Jack Gore. And those two both of the matches they had were exceptional to watch. I was lucky enough to have them on my live stream court when it happened. It was so fun to watch back and forth in both matches, and Ryan were just able to squeak out the double dip against Jack and Sammy. So, you know, props to Jack and Sammy for that great run. It sucks to get double dipped. I know they were very frustrated with themselves, but it's another one of the things you just got to give a credit to Ryan. They were just a little bit better in those two final games.
Yeah. And the good news for the other teams is it was just a little bit better, which means very easily could be you the next time. You're right there, yeah. And you got that good seating now going into the next one.
All right,
Do you have something else?
No, you're good.
Okay, cool. Let's move into the shootout format. So these are going to be our round limited games. Our finalists for singles are Jeremiah Ellis, Eric Davis, Tony Smith, and Ian Cripps. Obviously, there's one name on that list that I don't think most people had there, but congrats to Ian for doing it. He had a really strong end of 2022, I want to say. Was it 2022?
Yeah. Yeah. It was that whole thing coming into the World Championships where you needed to finish, I believe it was at least fourth or fifth in your bracket to be able to requalify as a pro. And the kid went on an absolute care.
Everybody
was, kind of facing them off, like, all right, well, now that Ian's out, who's going to be that new eighth junior into the pro division? And then he just kept winning game after game after game in the
bracket of his
bracket. And then next thing you know, he's requalified. Never mind, he's back in there. So, you got to give a shout out to him. And he looked really good. He looked really good. Double dipped Derek Holland to win his bracket. It's one of those things where I am a huge advocate for the shootout format, the round limited format. It brings such a different aspect to the game than these, 21 no limit round games do. Because you get these players like Ian Cripps, who is able to make a huge run through the bracket, double dip Derek Holland, and now you get to see him on national TV in a little over a week.
Yeah, really, really cool. And obviously, hats off to Ellis for getting in both formats for singles. What a dominant player he was to be able to do that. I think he's the only one. Yeah, he's the only one. So here he is, rookie, comes out first national, gets himself in two broadcasts. So
yeah, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit worried. This is Jeremiah's first opportunity in round limited formats, and he is one of the, if not the most aggressive player in the pro circuit. And he'd always assume that these aggressive players don't always work out very well, because you go for these aggressive type shots, and if it doesn't work out, you start giving up points, then you run out of time to make up for it. But he was so locked in and, dialed in that it did not matter if he was aggressive or not, because he was making everything. And it was cool to see. He defeated Alex Rawls to win his bracket. And man, I'm just saying, it's scary. If nobody can stop him at the kickoff battle, who's going to stop him at all this season?
Well, especially because we remember Mark Richards was that player, and then he struggled in the shootout format. He had to adjust to it, and to see Jeremiah not struggle. And I mean, I don't know if he's played this kind of format before. It didn't matter. It's really a testament to his mental game. I mean, it is, we talk a lot about certain players and their mental game. Jeremiah is a rookie, so maybe we haven't had the opportunity to talk about it, but his mental game is really, really strong. I just happened to see one of his posts on Facebook, and they asked him, like, how do you fit everything in? You've got kids, you've got a job, like, and he kind of gave a schedule, like, I get to play once a week here, I make sure I do this and that. And they said, imagine if you got to play more. And he said, no, I think the reason I'm so good is because I have balance. And I thought, like, that is such a concept that most of our players don't understand. Huh. Like, he gets it.
I am thinking I need to play 6 days a week to get good.
All
I need is to get a job at UPS and have four kids. Play once a week, and I'll be good. Okay. Okay. I'm writing this down.
Everyone take note. All right. Can we believe it? I think I manifested this next player tonight. I'm just kidding. Eric Davis, you deserve all the credit. You were absolutely phenomenal, but I couldn't be more excited to see him in the end there. And I am 100% biased in my number one player, and I get to go be on the broadcast with him. So I'm super excited.
I'm excited to watch him too, because I'll come out flat and say it. Eric Davis stunk last year. He was terrible. So getting back into things already, first big national tournament of the year, makes it in shootout singles. Man, good for him. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm glad to see him back, because he is such an electric player. He's so fun to watch. And now people all across the world are going to get to see him too. Cannot wait to see what he does.
I also will say I'm excited because when I talked to him a few months ago about how he was feeling, he hadn't quite found the bag. Like, he was still trying, and he said, I like these pro sniper elites, but they're a little fast. And I said, go get them dirty, like throw them in the dirt, like literally. Yeah. I don't know if he did, but my point is that he did. He obviously found bags that he's comfortable with, which makes me happy, and also scary for everybody else. And then Tony Smith, during the Open Series, we talked about, like, is he, still as good? What's happening? And he's like, just give me something important and I'll get it done.
And that's just mind blowing to me. The fact that, he can go to these open events and finish decently, but, not win the whole thing. And then just come out to these big time pro events that are very important, and have him just be like, okay, I'll start trying now, and then win everything. It makes no sense. And it's just so scary to me I'm talking about how all these things are so scary, but this one is scary as well, that Tony Smith can just turn it on at these pro events and continue to be a top five, top three player in the building at any point.
Not on the list in either is Mark Richards. Does that worry you?
No, no. Like you mentioned, it took him some time to get used to this shootout singles format. You know, but also on the national singles side, I'm not worried just because, you know, Mark Richards, you feel like you start turning into this, you know, Matt Guy kind of scenario mm-hmm. where, you know, he's just the top dog, the number one player. So everyone who plays him is going to get their best yeah. game ever. And, you know, you see it a lot with Matt Guy. You know, he'll shoot high 10s, almost an 11s, and still find ways to lose because the yeah. players he's playing against are shooting the game of their lives. I wonder if Mark Richards is starting to get that treatment too. Now, obviously, I think he's going to break out at some point, but it didn't happen at the kickoff battle. So you got to start thinking, if it doesn't happen at Cornhole Mania in Colorado, you got to start raising some question marks for sure.
Yeah. All right, look at doubles. This was the what? Like what? Where are all the teams that we expected? But let's go. Eric Davis, Matt Sorrells, Carson Getty, Hunter Thorson, Zach Schibner, and Gage Landis, and Vincent Frisch and Austin Cameron. I mean, these were all so fun. And we have to give a massive shout out to light skin Corey Gilbert and oh my God,
Dean Norton.
Thank you. I just like literally reversed the words in my head of his name.
Right.
But yeah, pure entertainment. And obviously Corey from my area, I get to see him a lot and I just adore the man. So I was happy to see him out there and everybody got to see why he's so lovable. But yeah, some crazy teams up there.
This is my favorite tournament of the entire weekend. I talked about it when we went over shootout singles, but these round limited formats are so much fun because they are so unpredictable and you have absolutely no idea what's happening. You went over the list of winners: Eric Davis, Matt Sorrells, Carson Getty, Hunter Thorson, Zach Schibner, Gage Landis, Vincent Frisch, Austin Cameron. But listen to the players who finished second place in their brackets. Devin Harbaugh, Kyle Malone got double dipped by Eric Davis and Matt Sorrells. Adam Hisner, Trey Burchfield, obviously, in our opinion, the number one doubles team in the world right now, lost to Carson Getty and Hunter Thorson. Dean Norton, Corey Gilbert lost to Gage Landis and Zach Schibner. Mark Richards, Tony Smith lost to Austin Cameron and Vincent Frisch. So, I mean, if you think about it, statistically speaking, arguably the teams that finished in second place in these brackets are almost better than the teams that finish in first place. But right. because of the round limited formats, because of the unpredictability, these are the four teams that are playing on ESPN in 2 weeks. And, you know, the teams that we mentioned are not. So I love it. I love the shootout format. It's so much fun.
We know Eric Davis does well. He's 2-time champ. So I would say if you're looking at that list, he's got to be the favorite, having the experience there in that exact event. Matt Sorrells has experience being on the broadcast from the previous seasons he was a pro. So to me, that's the team that has it in their fingertips.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only two players that have broadcast experience in something that is not pro teams.
Yeah.
So you have to think that's got to give them a little bit more of an edge. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, we know these other three teams can compete. They can play to the best of their ability. But will those bright lights on the ESPN stage factor in a little bit? I know it did for me. I don't have a good track record on TV either, but I'm also not a pro. I'm not as good as any of these guys that we listed. So we'll see what happens. But something's going to have to give.
Yeah, for sure. So that is all going to happen in 2 weeks in West Wego, Louisiana. So we're going to go through the schedule in just a little bit so you can find out when you can tune in to watch those. But we had other events that happened over the weekend. Senior singles went to Terry Mathis. Women singles, Sarah Cassidy. Women doubles, our final two who will also play in 2 weeks, is Deb Odom, Bella Soprenant, and Sarah Cassidy and Elizabeth Tennyson. The pro blind draw went to Jamie Graham and Steve Schrader. Junior singles, Anthony Eastridge. Elite singles went to Tony Forbes, and elite doubles went to Tony Forbes and Richard Nyberg. What you think, Jake?
I don't even know who I want to start with. I guess let's start with Tony Forbes real quick. I mean, I know you're probably a big fan of him, you know, that NorCal boy, but Man, to me, this is just Tony Forbes doing Tony Forbes things. I think he's the best amateur in the country. And you know, it's a hint to what we may be talking about a little
bit. Yeah, it might be on buy or sell later.
No, but it just goes to show that Tony Forbes deserves to be in the pro division. But he's just so good. And I'm happy for the kid. We talk about, you know, how polite some of these kids are. Tony Forbes is such a nice kid, such a good kid. Happy to see him win elite singles and elite doubles.
Yeah, same. He's such a sweet kid. Now, junior singles, he wasn't in that. I don't think I saw him because that was Sunday.
Yeah, that was Sunday. Yeah, yeah.
So he wasn't.
Junior singles went to Anthony Eastridge. Anthony Eastridge comes out of the loser's bracket to double dip Lonnie Campus, another Florida kid. You know, and Anthony Eastridge doing that also set an ACL record as the only player to win a juniors tournament with a full beard while also being almost a foot taller than any other participant. You know, that's what a lot of the comments were talking about.
Anthony Eastridge, that's so funny.
17 years old, 6'7". And a full-grown beard. And everybody, I don't know if you've ever seen
Did we check his ID? Are we believing right? this? No.
Everybody, a lot of people in the comments, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Benchwarmers, but it's always that thing where they always talk about, you know, the big Dominican dude who comes to play on the Little League team who has a birth certificate written in green crayon that just says the words, I am 12. It's getting the same vibes. But he is 17 and he is a force to be reckoned with in the juniors division. He got the double dip. He is good. And, you know, he just got brought up to the Virginia Cutters pro team as well. So,
oh, very cool. You know, now we've talked about, this is not my expertise, I will say that, but we've talked about how sometimes height isn't an advantage in cornhole, like being tall. So that part could work against you.
Yeah. I mean, height is an advantage to a degree, but you think, but you know, with how big and tall he is, it feels like he can almost just, you know, reach over
just and like reach over and put it in.
That's what it feels like, at least. No, but no, shout out to Anthony. Shout out to Lonnie. Gave him a heck of a run. It could have gone either way, but Anthony Eastridge got the junior stuff.
Did you get to see the Sarah Cassidy win? Because I didn't get to see any of that. And obviously a big win for her to take down Cheyenne. I would assume that's who she took down.
Yeah. So I was going to go on a soapbox for Sarah Cassidy. Going to go on a big tangent here. So Sarah Cassidy, in my opinion, was the best player in the entire building on Sunday afternoon. Whether you talk about the pro blind draw that was going on at the same time, juniors or seniors, Sarah Cassidy was absolutely ridiculous. She averaged a 10-3-3 over 130 rounds of women's singles and had a 0.81 DPR. That's over 3/4 of a point per round she's scoring on anybody. She beat Rosie Streaker in the winner's final 21-8. Wow. And then Cheyenne beat Rosie to get back to the overall championship where Sarah beat her 21-7.
Wow. Dominant.
Absolutely dominating performance. And it was so, so impressive to see Sarah Cassidy. That's
good to hear. Rosie Streaker, after the shoulder surgery, still got third. Hats off. That's a good sign, because obviously after surgery, you never know. Kind of Frank Modlin-esque after his surgeries, he came back, he threw great.
Another big shout out real quick, women's singles. Vanessa Fillingham, fourth place finish. She looked really good. Nice. So shout out to her. Hopefully she can keep a string of those going.
Absolutely. And then the doubles, I remember, now this was the first day, so it feels like a lifetime ago.
Right. I'm trying to think back of what happened.
But it was surprising when so Cheyenne was with Cameron Belvin, and who beat them? Was it Sarah or was it Deb? No, it was Sarah.
Yeah, it was Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah and Elizabeth. And we were joking because so Sarah and Elizabeth were on our court. It was me and Wally, and they won. And Elizabeth came over to Wally and said, The streak is broken, because she had a streak of losing whenever she was on Wally's court. She's like, I did it. I finally won on your court. And then she said, so now I can't lose. So they go play or whatever. They get back on the court and she's making mistakes. And then whoever she's playing against happened to make mistakes too. And so like she was getting totally bailed out and then she won again. And we're like, oh my God, is this really a thing? And then the next game, same thing. She's not like she threw absolute fire. She had moments, but she had moments where she didn't, and she still won. So she might be onto something now. So she needs Wally to be commentating her match on ESPN to win.
And actually, if we're going through it, we were both wrong. It's actually Lori Dool and Miranda Coy that beat Cheyenne and Cameron. And then Lori and Miranda beat Rosie and Sam Finley before and eventually losing to Deb Odom and Bella Soprano. So, happy for all four of those women. I think that's going to be a really interesting, really entertaining women's doubles final in Westwego as well.
Lori and Miranda played well on the whole weekend. Obviously, they played on the team's broadcast. Everywhere I saw them, they played well. So, yeah, definitely impressive there. And then Terry Mathis taking down seniors. Congrats to him. All kinds of good stuff. And it all leads us to our kickoff battle number two. So I really like how we're setting this up this season to where we're getting down to the finalists. We take them to the broadcast in the second event, but we also have an open. So it means, you know, all of you who are attending the open get to experience the broadcast because you're already there. So it's going to be really fun. So I just want to kind of go through a little bit of the schedule so you kind of know what to expect. It's all going to kick off on Thursday. And I'm going to do like shameless plug here because I'm helping Tyler Cobb put on a cornhole clinic. We'd love for you to come. It is going to be a small group, so you have lots of time to work with him. He's going to go over strategic bag manipulation. You can sign up to be part of the cornhole clinic at academyacl.com/cornholeclinics. So, I mean, this is your chance to work with a pro in person in a very small group. And so make sure you get your ticket.
That's awesome. I'm so
excited. Yeah. So this is going to be at each second event. We'll always have a cornhole clinic with a local pro. So Tyler Cobb is close to Westwego, New Orleans area. He's our closest pro over there. So we're going to bring him out to teach that. So definitely come and sign up for that. And we'll see there. All right. Moving on to our broadcast, though. I have some links here. I'm not going to say the links because it's like, you know, the event dot this dot whatever, but they're at the bottom of the ticker here if you want to grab tickets. So on Thursday night we have the Marauders versus Timber at 5 p.m. Central, and that's going to air the 25th of April at 8 p.m. So we have this cool thing, like I feel like all the seasons previously we've never had a regular airtime, but now we have pro teams Thursdays. Every Thursday is a pro teams event on CBS Sports. So like, how cool, we have like an actual time slot. That's why we have these recordings, and that's why they're being held for the next times, so that we have content every Thursday. At 8 p.m. Central, it'll be Mays versus Cutters. That will be live. So you can come sit in the broadcast area and enjoy those events. You're going to have
Cutters.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're going to have Sean Latham on the mic. He's hilarious. You're going to have t-shirts or towels or corn nuts flying into the audience.
Dang corn nut Canaan. It's scary.
It is a little bit scary. So you should definitely experience the broadcast. All right, for Friday, now we're in like our normal kind of open schedule that you're used to. So we have women, seniors, juniors, singles on Friday morning, and the live stream is going to start at 10 a.m. This is all central time. And then after that will be college and high school doubles, and then pro women's only singles and the blind draw. And then at 4:30 p.m. is, if you're there, you can come to the broadcast for shootout doubles, but it doesn't air until the 20th. And same with national doubles and pro women's doubles. It's at 6 o'clock if you're there for the audience, but it airs on the 21st. And then at 9 p.m., our shootout singles will be live. So you have all those broadcasts to enjoy. And then Saturday, doubles rounders, doubles brackets, just like you're used to. 2 p.m. is going to be the live stream. And at 6 p.m., it's national singles that will air on the 21st. And then, of course, the most fun event, in my opinion, the Celebrity Super Bowl. And we're doing NFL players this year. So no offense to the previous celebrities that can't hit the board. But we have athletes now. Come on. What? We all know who I'm talking about.
Hey, don't do my girl Dawn Staley like that. Come on.
No, she did well.
Yeah.
She's athletic. I'm talking about the non-athletes. That's the problem. And then on Sunday, we have Sunday's Singles Day, and the live stream will start at 10 a.m. So that's all the fun stuff that you can look forward to. All right, moving on. Buy or sell. Are you ready, Jake?
I'm beyond ready. Let's do it.
All right, Jeremiah Ellis could win Rookie of the Year and MVP. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy that one. And for one reason only, we know we saw Tony Smith do it last year. And dare I say, Jeremiah is off to a better start this year than Tony was last year, making the broadcast for both pro national singles and shootout singles, obviously. And we still got a lot of work to do to accomplish this because Tony had a phenomenal second half of the pro season last year.
Yep.
But I will say he's off to a fantastic start. And if he can keep it up, it's going to be a no-brainer.
Do you know where he finished in doubles at all? Like, were they towards the end of the bracket?
Yeah. Him and Ryan. Oh, I think they finished top five.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up.
So it's not like there is a big, because that goes into it, right? Like your singles and your doubles ranking. Cause like, that's how Tony can get a leg up, is because he's hitting the doubles.
I mean, that would be the only way.
Yeah.
Let's see, looking through here, they did not make the money for pro doubles.
Okay.
Which is not a good sign for what I just said. but they did finish third in their pro shootout doubles bracket, though. So,
okay, cool. I'm also gonna buy. I think it's actually funny. I was talking to him and I was like, "Yeah, rookie of the year, blah blah." He's like, "I wish you guys would start saying MVP." And I'm like, "Okay, Jeremiah, this was before the event," and so I feel like he was here to prove something. So I'm gonna have to buy it on that, especially with his confidence and his ability to do it. All right, next one: Cody Henderson will win a bracket this season.
I'm selling that one. Selling that one. You know, he started out hot. Great start. Big props to Cody Henderson. But, man, it is so damn hard to win a bracket at one of these events. I mentioned at the top of the broadcast how deep and how stacked the pro division is this year, which just goes to show that, you know, it's gonna be hard. I mean, and Cody, you know, it's the first time we've seen him in a bracket finals in a very long time. So if he can keep it up, heck yeah. But if you're asking me to take Cody Henderson or the field, I'm going to take the field. So I'm going to sell it.
Yeah. I mean, this one, the only reason why I paused is because he is going to have good seating. So I think he will get far. I think it's going to be hard to actually go over the hump and get the win. So I'm also going to sell. Next one. Eric Davis is back.
I'm buying it. You know, I love the bag switch. The bag company is over to Lucky Bags. It's proven to me that he's back. I mean, he looks so good. I would like to see him perform in a format that is not round limited, because, you know, he can perform in the round limited formats. So, but I mean, he continues to solidify that he is one of, if not the best round limited player in the country. I mean, time after time again, 2-time pro shootout doubles champion, made the broadcast again in both singles and doubles. So we will see, but I would like to see him do it in the round of 20 and games of 21 format. But as of right now, I'm buying it.
I was just trying to think if I knew at all how he did in the regular format, but I don't know how far he went, or him and Matt went in the to 21. So it would be interesting to look that up though, to get that. But I'm also going to buy. I think this reminds me a lot of, you know, if we just scratch last season and move, pretend it didn't happen. This, I feel like he's continuing on with what we would expect out of Eric Davis. So I'm going to say he's back to what we saw, you know, not counting last season.
So Eric finished fourth in his bracket in singles. Him and Matt finished third in their bracket in pro doubles.
And that's to 21?
So, yeah, to 21.
Wow. So, yeah,
good runs. That's huge. Good runs in both of them.
Good runs everywhere. Okay, awesome. Yep. All right, Sarah Cassidy will give Cheyenne a run this year.
I mean, to me, this is the easiest buy of the year. I mean, like I said, I just went on a tangent. Did you see what she did? She just did. I don't consider it a fluke at all. I think the top two right now are Sarah and Cheyenne, and everyone else is kind of fighting for that third spot. So I'm buying it all day. Sarah Cassidy is here, and she is a force to be reckoned with. So we'll see.
So this women's singles that she won, this was the event that Cheyenne won all of them last year. Am I right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that's what I was saying. We've already seen a shift in the titles, but I'm also going to buy. I didn't get to see as much of her as you did, but I got to see a little bit of her on doubles day, and a really impressive. I remember last year, especially on the Celebrity Super Hole, all her bags were going off the back of the board, and it made me really nervous. I was like, why does she keep throwing all her bags too hard? And I lost a little bit of confidence in her. That's obviously not an issue anymore. She's looking really, really good and confident. She's always been down the center. It's just, it was a little bit of an issue with the speed control of the bag, but really looking really good. All right. Tony Forbes is the best non-pro in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this before, kind of alluded to it, but I'm buying this as well. You know, nobody is on his level right now compared to other non-pros. I mean, I think in my opinion, he should be a pro, but obviously the rules dictate that he can't, which is perfectly fine, but he's just going to absolutely run elite singles every event. and he's very strong, very good, buying it all day. Very easy.
It's a good bit of confidence if you were to win all of the elite events moving into whatever happens next season. I don't know, but you'd feel pretty good about your chances. But I'm going to buy as well. Tony was super impressive on the high school tour that we saw in Myrtle Beach. That was kind of when everyone really got to see him. Obviously, we know him here locally, but he got to show out all his skills. And also, I got a chance to sit down and interview him. And because he has that baseball background, he brings in all that knowledge of the way he thinks about baseball into cornhole. He's super passionate and positive kid. And I think that's what you're seeing. Even when he makes misses, he doesn't get mad. He kind of like laughs at himself. And he's just got a good attitude about all of it. Hot take time. Are you going to pick some winners for in 2 weeks? Is that what you're doing for your hot take?
Maybe.
Okay. Because that's what I was going to do. So I was wondering if you can do the same thing.
Oh, I am. Yeah, those are my hot takes.
Okay. So are you doing all of them or which one are you doing?
No, I just did. I did one for shootout singles and one for shootout doubles. Those are the only two I did.
Okay. So go ahead. What are they?
All right. Ian Cripps wins shootout singles. Ooh. Zach Scheib, Gage Landis wins shootout doubles. Book it.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Do you want to choose your other one, the other ones?
I mean, I guess I can. Yeah. Let me go through it real quick.
Let's hear all your picks.
All right. Give me, man, I'm only doing this because it's a hot take. I'm not going to take the overall favorite. Give me Adam Hisner to win pro singles.
Okay.
And give me Ethan Walker and Alec Ryan to win pro doubles. And Elizabeth Tennyson and Sarah Cassidy to win women's doubles.
Okay, perfect. So I'm gonna go Odom and Siprenet. So I'll go opposite of you for women's. I'm gonna go Jeremiah Ellis sweeps the singles because I think that was a bit hotter than saying he wins one. I'm gonna go the Ryans, and I'm gonna go Frisch Cameron just to make it fun and interesting.
I like it. I like it.
All right, guys. This was a blast. Hey, Jake, thanks for hanging in there with me and making this show happen, just the two of us. I think we did it.
Man, we did it. We had fun. I don't know if you had fun, but I had a blast. This is fun.
I had a blast. And if anybody thinks that we can't talk, we can talk.
We can talk.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you all next time. Next week, we're going to go over preparing for that second kickoff battle and going into the brackets and everything for the open event. So we'll see you all there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Peace.